Welcome to the DuPage Vineyard Teaching Channel. Thank you for joining us.
All right. Good morning, everybody. I think I should probably set the water here and the Bible up here. That might be better for us, right? You know, I'm excited to be here, although I can't tell whether it's excited or nervousness. A lot has happened to me this week pertaining to this. God has been speaking to me in a way that, you know, he's never spoke to me before. Wednesday night is when I officially said yes to Dave as far as coming up here and doing the teaching. And so Thursday, I thought, what did I do? I don't know what to talk about. For the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about identity, who we are in Christ. And so Dave asked me to continue to press into that. And I thought, well, I'm not sure if I can say anything more than what he's already said. So I started praying and praying. I'm like, God, you know, you need to talk to me, because in reality, you're the one who needs to be speaking, not me. So what do you want to say? And so he gave me this vision, which was amazing, because I've never gotten a vision before. He always comes with thoughts. He never comes with visions. And so this was like vision, thought, like almost like a movie type of thing. And so what I envisioned was that there was this father and this son. And this son is down on the field, and he's about to run some type of race. And you could tell that he's nervous, he's scared. You know, there's a bunch of kids around him, badgering him, saying, oh, please, I can run faster than you. I can do this. I'm stronger. I'm faster. I'm smarter. You're nothing, right? You're not going to win today. I'm going to win. You're not even in a place. You're going to be last. And so the father sees this, and he comes up to him, and it's a small child. So he gets on one knee, so he's eye level, takes his arms to, like, kind of, you know, block out everything out, puts his arms on this on his son. And he's like, look, focus. Look at me. Don't look at anything else. Just look at me. And he goes, son, you are my child. Do you know who you are? Do you know where you came from? Right? We have a long heritage in our family of that when our family runs this race, we win. So today I know you will do well. I don't know if you're going to win today or not, but I know you will finish, and I know you will do well. And the other thing I know is that if you do not win the race today, tomorrow you will win. Because everybody that has, ooh, that's me, sorry. Everybody that has pursued this race in our family has won the race. And so I know there's like a bunch of meanings that you can take out of that, father, son, you know, our father in heaven, son. But what really came across to me was the father reinforcing his son, who he was, the power that he had, the ability that he had to win that race. And so what I took out of that is what God wants me to do today is just reinforce who you guys are. Reinforce that you are a child of God and that you can win this race. So I want to start out by asking you guys a question. When I say the word holy, what's the first thing that pops into your head? The first thing that pops into my head, and maybe because I grew up as a Christian all my life, my parents are pastors, is God. Would you agree God is holy? Right, we preach it in our teachings, we sing it in our songs, that he is holy, that he is worthy to be worshipped, right? That's a fair definition, right? God is holy, he is worthy to be worshipped. The second thing I think about is Jesus Christ, right? The Bible says that he came down and became a man. He took the law upon his shoulders, fulfilled it perfectly. When he went on the cross, he was blameless, he was spotless, he was without sin. And so he was a perfect sacrifice. So I think when I think of holy, I think of someone who is perfect, who can take the law, of Moses, that's what I'm referring to, right? And follow it perfectly. And so let me ask you another question. Are you holy? Are you perfect? Right? We are. That's what the Bible says. And so you don't have to take my word for it. Let me read it to you what it says in Corinthians. It says this. Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. I think my version is different. I'm reading from the NLT. It says this, I am writing to God's church in Corinth, to you who have been called by God to be his own holy people. He made you holy by the means of Jesus Christ. Just as he did for all people everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. And so the Bible here tells us we are holy. But you know what Satan does? He comes in and says, you know what? He gives us half the truth, right? He says, how are you holy? How are you perfect? Right? I see you sinning all the time. How are you worthy to be worshipped? Right? You go out into the world, you talk to your friends, or you talk to the people at your work, and they're like, why do people come up to you? I'm smarter than you are. You know, if they need advice, they should come to me. I know what I'm talking about. My life is in better shape than yours. They say, you know what? I'm bigger and stronger than you, right? In reality, there is always somebody that's bigger and stronger than me, of course. But they say, you know what? If they need help, I can do it. They should call on me. I can be that warrior, right? And then maybe someone else comes along and says, well, you know what? Don't pay attention to him. Come worship me. I'm the one you need to be friends with. I'm the one you need to talk to because my finances are just great. This guy who's stronger, faster, maybe even smarter, he's not going to move unless you pay him. So you can come to me because I can pay him. I can make him move, right? Satan starts lying to us and says, so you're not holy. You know, don't be worshipped. And so, as you know, I was thinking about me being holy and Satan attacking me, and I thought, all right, there are times where my mind is thinking that way. And so how do I walk as a child of God? You know, how do I change my mind? And so a verse came into my head, and it almost sounds like one of the verses that Dave has been talking about too. It's in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says this: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So there are a lot of times where Satan comes in. There's a lot of times where this world comes in and just beats us down, right? So our mind starts thinking what worldly, I guess you could say. And so we need to take our mind and get it into Scripture so that it can line up with who we are, right? Think of the Father telling the Son in my vision, look, you are, you belong to this family, right? You have the ability, you have the power, and you have the greatness to win this race because it's been in our history. It's been in our in our lineage. Well, so do you guys, right? Because when you give your lives to Christ, now you have a heritage with Jesus Christ, right? Dave has been talking about how we've been reborn, right? And I think it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, again, sorry, it's going to stop me from putting my hand in my pocket, which is good. It's a bad habit. It says, therefore, if anyone in Christ is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. So not only have we been adopted, but we've been given birth by Christ. And so we can say, Satan, you're a liar. Today I want to see if I can as the scripture says, transform you by renewing your mind. I want to make sure that through and through you know that you are holy. And so what I did is I went to Google, right? You guys have your iPhones or smartphones with it? You can go to Google with me. Right. I just put in holy and put in definition, and so out popped up definitions. And two of the definitions are what I've already explained, right? One says regarded with or worthy of worship. Do we agree that's what God is, worthy of worship? This other one says living according to a strict, highly moral, religious, or spiritual system. Wow. The only one I know of that's done that is Jesus Christ. And so the devil would have you just focus on those two things and say, look, how can you be holy? None of us have ever been able to follow a strict set of rules and complete them perfectly like Jesus. So how can you be holy? But, you know, there's another definition in there. There's two more definitions. The first one says this: belonging to, derived from, or associated with divine power. Now, I would like to read it this way: belonging to, derived from, and associated with divine power. For the last 4 weeks, Dave has been explaining to us that we belong to Jesus Christ, right? I just read that we are a new creation, so he's given birth to us. So we have a birth right now to God. We belong to him. We have derived from him. And doesn't everybody come up to us to ask us for advice or to ask us to pray for them? That power is in us, right? Let me read to you so you don't take my word for it again. What Jesus says here, let's see, where is it? Romans chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. And Christ lives within you. So even though your bodies will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life. Because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. The same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. Do you understand what that means? Right? The same Spirit that descended on Jesus when he was baptized, that went out with him in his ministry, that healed the sick, that healed the blind, that raised Lazarus from the dead, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that same Spirit is in you. And so do you not have that power with you? Do you not have that power and ability to win that race? Right? That's what the Bible says here. There's another definition in Google. It says, if I can find it again, specified or set apart for religious purposes. You know, the great thing is when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, he doesn't just give you life, right? He gives you a purpose. I remember growing up, I watch TV a lot, sorry. But one theme that was on TV or in the movies was like trying to find the purpose to life, right? And then you read stories and hear stories about how men and women have come into a lot of money. You know, they said, if I just had more money. So they win the lottery or they inherit a ton of money. They get to that point where they have the money that they've always wanted. And they say, wow, what is there? Is this it? There has to be more to life. And they're trying to find that purpose. Well, so Jesus doesn't come in and just say, all right, you have life and let you go on. He gives us purpose, right? Jesus in the Bible says, go into all the cities and heal the sick, right? Prophesize, cast out demons, stuff like that. And you know what was amazing is last week, if you guys were here, Jeremy, right? I think he's the one that gave the testimony. He gave this Stop. It should have like a electric buzzer. It's all right. I have to learn not to put my hands in my pocket. I'm thinking it needs like a taser. So I go, all right, I'm done. No more. I'm going to keep my hands up here. But anyways, Jeremy came up here and gave this testimony, and you should have saw the smile on his face. He was just glowing. You know, he was talking about how he was at work, and he decided just to line his mind up with God's will. And, you know, I'm just going to do what Dave said to do or what the Bible said to do. I'm going to go, and he's a waiter, and so in work he's going to go to the tables, and he's just going to start prophesizing and healing. So he goes, and he's like, hey, so what do you want for, what do you want for a meal? And by the way, does your shoulder hurt? Well, yeah. What? How'd you know that? He's like, well, let me pray for you. And he prays, and they're healed. And throughout the night, he's saying how this is going on constantly, and he has this huge smile on his face, this huge glow on his face. He found his purpose, right? He found that purpose that God wants us. And it was fun. It was exciting. And so it's just not for us to go around living the way we want, but have a purpose in his life. Again. So let me ask you one more time. Are you holy? Do you believe it through and through? Has your mind been renewed to the fact that you are holy? You know, I think Satan can't come against you right now and say, you know what? You're nothing. You're this, right? Now, when I said, are you holy? There's a lot of you saying, yes, I'm holy up here. And that's great. That's exciting to know that you're there. But, you know, there might be some of you that haven't given your lives to Christ. There might be some of you that might still be pondering, well, am I holy, right? Because I feel evil. I feel bad. You know, I know I've committed sins. And, you know, that's the whisper in your ear that Satan comes out. You know, let me read to you this. It says, it's in Romans chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. Well, actually, no, I'm sorry. Wrong scripture here. 1 John chapter 1, starting at verse 5. And I'm only going to read half the truth to you. It says this. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. Now, do you guys hear that in some form or version in your ear sometimes? Right? When you do something bad, you're like, see, God's not with you. How can you go over there and start healing people or start casting out demons? Right? He's not with you. Because Satan focuses on half the truth. He doesn't want to tell you the rest. So let me tell you what Satan doesn't want me to tell you. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. It goes on and says this. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all righteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the anointing sacrifice for our sins, and not only ours, but the sins of the whole world. And so that's what we need to focus on. We need to focus on the other part of the message, right? That says, as we walk in our faith, as we, as Dave says, keep falling forward, making mistakes, tripping over our sins, Satan can't come against us, right? We have that advocate that lives within us, right? I think I just read that, right? Jesus lives within us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is in us, right? He lives within us. So as we fall forward, Jesus, Satan is over there trying to accuse us, but Jesus saying, no, I got no record of this, right? The Bible says that our sins, when we confess them, they're as far away from the east as from the west, right? So every time we say, see, Satan is saying, you know what? You're not holy. You just sinned. So Jesus is like, nope, I got no record of this. You're holy. You're pure. So when we think about holy, saying, you know what? Someone that is pure, someone that is that has no sin, that someone that is blameless without sin, well, that's who you are. Not in of yourself, but because of Jesus Christ, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because you are a new creation. The church used to, when I grew up, I'd look at my father. My father would introduce me to some people at the church, or he would introduce others, and you would hear him introduce people saying, you know what, this is not, you wouldn't hear him say, this is Nathan right here. You would hear him say, this is Brother Nathan. This is Sister so-and-so. Right? And it's because it was reinforcing who they were. It was reinforcing who he was. He was saying, look, I am a son of God, right? The blood of Jesus runs in my veins, as does Brother Nathan. He is my brother in Christ. He is my brother all around, right? You guys are family. There's nothing I can do about it. Even if, for whatever reason, we may not get along, you're still family because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing can take it. You are holy, and I am holy. Again, going back to renewing your mind, and, you know, the worship team can come up because I'm pretty much done. I see I talk fast. I'm thinking we can get out of here early. Yes. Football's over, though, so I'm kind of sad. But, you know, I said a couple of things happened to me this week, and one was the vision. The other one was an experience that just never has happened to me before. And so, you know, all month I was telling myself, going into this identity thing, saying, all right, the same Spirit that lives in Jesus Christ is in me. Same Spirit that lives in Jesus Christ is in me. And I had to get my head lined up with what Scripture says, what the truth was, because I still wasn't feeling it. So I get this email from Dave on Tuesday asking me, do I want to teach today? Now, I was in pain. My back had went out. It was all twisted. So I was laying down looking at this, and I was just looking through my emails like, uh-huh, okay, I'll deal with you tomorrow. I'll think about it tomorrow. But when I came across Dave's email, and my head was saying, all right, I'll talk to you tomorrow, but this excitement came out of, not out of my head, but out of my spirit, I guess I'd say. It was like from my stomach and just went and crawled up my body and everything, and it was saying, yes, you're going to teach. Let me out. I want to teach today. And my head was like, no, you don't. What are you talking about? And it was just so overwhelming that my head was just trying to suppress it, saying, what are you talking about? You don't even know what to talk about. David said everything. What are you going to say? And my spirit's like, I don't care. Like, that's God's problem. I'm going to teach today. And again. And so in that moment, that's when I got these verses, right? The Spirit of God, the same Spirit of God that is in, that raised Jesus Christ, that is in you. And you need to renew your mind about that. My mind had to settle, look, the Spirit in me, this new creation, the Spirit in me is saying, yes, I am ready to do God's work. I'm ready to live out that purpose. Now get your mind in order. And so that's what we needed to do today, get our mind in order. We need to come to Scripture and hopefully just start it out by saying, you know what, you are holy. And now hopefully your mind has been renewed through and through that. When somebody says you are holy, when you go to work and you profess, I'm a born-again Christian, and they say, no, you're not. I just saw you doing this. You can fight back and say, no, I am holy because of Jesus Christ.
This has been a DuPage Vineyard Church production.